The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. I am so excited about this because we've been looking forward to having another report from Josh Plant from Church on the Drive. He was here, and you may remember the story that he told about how God was moving through his work at the football team at Edgewater High School, how God was just blessing those players. Josh had an opportunity to baptize several of them, and that in itself was a great experience. So we've got Josh here, and we've got Cameron Duke, who is actually the head football coach at Edgewater High School. They've just returned from a trip to Guatemala. First of all, Josh, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be here in the studio with y'all. I'm really glad I got to bring my friend Cameron with me this time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it is too, man. I think it's going to be great fun. And Cameron is, I found out just moments ago, the son of a guy that we've had here on The Shepherd as well, Jeff Duke, who is involved at UCF. He's an instructor. He wrote the book, and the book was titled...
3D Coaching.
That's it. Thank you. It was escaping my mind. 3D Coaching. It's really... one of the finest books that's been out in years for FCA, and they've spread that book all over. And of course, he was here talking about all of that. He's also worked with our good friend in Gainesville, Noah Wilbanks. In fact, he did a coaching clinic up in Ocala not terribly long ago. His son, head football coach at Edgewater. My goodness, this is like, where do we start? But let's start with what God has done in this recent trip to Guatemala. Josh, let's start with you.
Well, man, it was a miracle getting there in the first place. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
We had so many people who thought this is such a big deal. It needs to happen. We had so many volunteers and sponsors who made sure that it happened. So they were raising funds, reaching out to friends of friends to make sure that these kids got to go. We had kids getting passports, and as you know, passport stuff started getting backed up. We even had one or two that couldn't go because their passports didn't come in time.
Oh my goodness.
It had gotten so backed up. But we felt like the people who ended up on that trip were exactly who needed to be there. By the time we got to the airport that morning, they had already said, look, you're going to have to make sure that you bring proof of vaccination with you, or you're going to have to bring a proof of a negative COVID test within the last 72 hours. So we all show up with all of our paperwork, and one of our guys, he gets there and he's like, here's my proof of vaccination. And they say, well, you're only 13 days out. You have to be 14 days out.
Oh, my goodness.
So my man had to wait at the airport and get another, he had to get a COVID test to prove. And so he missed the flight with us. Coach Duke stayed with him. The rest of us went on. They met us in Guatemala at the camp we were staying at, I think about 9 o'clock that night, something like that. Mm. But Coach got a lot of fun time with that player who's extremely hilarious. So he was you're kind of lucky in that way.
No doubt.
Sometimes things work out like that.
Yeah. Two fun loving guys in the Miami airport. What could go wrong? Yeah. But we got there. Everything was great. It was fun. And then the real work began.
Mm-hmm.
The real work began. We felt blessed just to arrive, and then it was game time.
Now it's important to realize this is happening in a time when so many trips have been canceled, so many trips have been maybe postponed, but some of them canceled altogether because of COVID.
Yes.
So, and then you've got the international aspect of this, crossing into another border, into another nation. So there's lots. You said, what could go wrong? It's amazing how many things could go wrong.
I was very thankful for my naivete on this one, because I might have been a little bit more nervous, and if I'd known everything we were going to walk through on the way there and the way back, I might have been a little more nervous. But we got there, we came through customs. One kid had to go to the back and take another COVID test for some reason. It was a whole thing, and we made it through. It was good. We got to the camp. We set up and we said, here's what you're going to be doing. We have two teams. One team was working on building a house one day.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. The purpose for this trip was a construction trip? Well,
one team was going to be building a house, and then the other would be putting on a sports camp. And
okay.
Then they switched.
Oh,
right.
Everybody got to do something.
Right, okay. Right. And the team that was doing the sports camp that day was also going and making home visits. And so they were taking with them these bags that had rice with nutrients and different things with them, and handing them to these people who literally don't have anything to eat.
Mm.
Their families are beginning to starve. So we're bringing sustenance. And so our guys are getting to see this. They're getting to see this for the first time, what real world poverty looks like outside of the United States of America. And our guys, they don't live in gigantic mansions necessarily, right?
But the Guatemalans would think that they're rich.
Yes.
They would look at them as rich.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll let Cam share a story in a little while about an incredible moment from one of our guys who really doesn't have a lot. That's Cam's favorite story now, but I want to let him share that. But it really moved our guys to be able to see what kind of living conditions some people in a 3-hour plane ride away are living in.
Now, how many did you take with you on the trip?
I think we ended up with a grand total of 17.
Correct.
And they're all football players or other students as well?
Football players are our leaders from our football team that we said, we're going to go find out how to lead. We're going to teach you how to lead hands-on, some on-the-job training for leadership.
I'm sure that most of them had never been out of the country before.
Yeah, most of them.
Wow. And you're right when you say it is an eye-opening experience for somebody to go from what they think they don't have in America, and then they see something like in Guatemala where people have nothing or next to nothing. And then, you know, the odd thing about going on a trip like that is the surroundings look like paradise.
Right.
I mean, it's beautiful, just gorgeous. The mountains, the volcanoes, the shoreline of the oceans that are, you know, around. My goodness, it's gorgeous, but they have nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I think you told me there's world-class surf there, right, Cam?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, world-class surf in Guatemala, you know? And like you said, it's beautiful. We're up in the mountains.
Yeah.
It's great weather year-round. It's incredible weather. There's these awesome volcanoes around us, too, you know, that we got to go climb up next to. And yeah, and they don't have a whole lot. But I think what was so interesting for some of our guys was to see how happy they could still be without a bunch of stuff, without a bunch of stuff I think it took them by surprise how happy people could be with that. You know, we even one night stayed in Guatemala City in one of the most dangerous parts of Guatemala City, like one of the parts where they say, don't go out after dark, you know, not for any reason. And so we're standing up on the rooftop. It had a little rooftop area with some of them, and they're just taking it all in. I'm watching them take it all in. And one of our kids, he's newer to the program, said, it's so weird thinking that there's these people who live these lives completely apart from us that we'll never meet who are living right over here. You know, he was just taking it all in.
Yeah, just within a couple of blocks away or whatever.
Yeah.
It could be just major stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Cameron, what was that like for you to take your own students into a country like Guatemala and most of them not having had any experience like that? What was that like?
Well, we were fortunate to do it in 2019, partnered with Clubhouse Guatemala and Church on the Drive with Josh Plant. And then we were going to do it, of course, in 2020, which we weren't able to do because of the pandemic. And then be able to take a group this year with, as Pastor Josh said, with so many unknown circumstances in front of us. It was special. And, you know, we know that we want to teach leadership within our program, and we believe the only way you learn how to lead is be a servant leader. And that's the Christ model. And so taking 11 football players and 6 adults, and there were other coaches, our athletic director and his wife. And like Josh said, it was the 17 people that needed to be on that trip. That was a God-ordained group to be able to go down there and really watch them learn how to be servant leaders. And then watch, you know, God work in their lives while they were serving and loving the community that we were a part of for the 5 days. So it was special. And to see these young men now back in the States and watching what they're doing and how they're leading our program has been really special. So we're very fortunate that we were able to go, fortunate to so many people that made this happen, as Josh said. But yeah, it was unbelievable to see God move in a mighty way.
Why don't you share that story that Josh alluded to?
Yeah, there's so many stories that, you know, when you're down there and you're serving and, you know, you're working together and loving on people and watching God work, it's powerful. But one that he's talking about that really stood out was the last night we were there after we had just got done with our sports camp. We had a sports camp 3 days in a row. And so we had all these kids and they were just all hanging around. And I look over and I see all of our players, 11 of our guys, giving away their shirts and giving away clothes and giving away shoes.
Man.
And, you know, no one prompted them to do this. That wasn't, hey guys, go get stuff and give it to these local kids that have very little. They just something that just was in their heart to go and to give. And seeing that. And then one of our players named Bill Thomas, I'm watching him give he's got a jersey that he always would wear, even at school, he would wear this soccer jersey. He's originally from Jamaica and but been part of our program all 4 years. He's a senior. He's a great kid. He goes to Pastor Josh Youth Group. But I'm watching him go and get this jersey of his, this soccer jersey, and he goes and gives it to this 10-year-old boy. And this is this kid's favorite jersey. And our player doesn't come from a whole lot. And again, I've seen this shirt on him a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I forget who it was, but it's a famous soccer player. And he gives this jersey to this kid, and that kid puts it on and just stands there and gives our player a big hug. And I'm watching this interaction happen, knowing this is my player's favorite jersey that was, I found out later, given to him by his grandmother as a Christmas gift. And he doesn't come from a whole lot himself at all. He shared with the group kind of his own struggles in his life, but he knew how much this would mean to this kid that had basically attached himself to our player the entire time. And then he gave him this jersey, and that kid has that jersey on, and he's looking, and we're closing up camp, and he's just looking at DeVille, and, you know, you can just feel, you know, God's love in that moment. Here's a young man who's 17-year-old kid who doesn't have a whole lot, give something that is very valuable to him to somebody else because he knew how much that would mean to that kid. So it was powerful, and it's kind of a, you know, one of those pictures in your mind you'll never forget.
That is very touching, and you're right. He'll never forget it. The kid he gave it to will never forget it. But I believe what is so wonderful about that story is how God is honored when we give something that is so meaningful to us. We're not just giving out of surplus. Mm-hmm. But what that player did, what was his first name?
DeVille.
What DeVille did was give out of his very heart what he loved, what was precious in more ways than one to him. And that is, I believe, one of the beautiful things about missions trips in general. But it sounds like the fact that you guys took such a trip with team members, what an opportunity to build together and to grow together as a team. And Josh, your role in all of this, you're not hired, if you will, by the team or by the school, but you're affiliated so closely because of your work as a chaplain there with them. And I know you've been working out with them still, right?
I try to. They're too strong now. Okay, Coach has them too big and strong now. Now I just come over and like, hey, that's not how you do that. Do it a different way. I pray they don't ask me to demonstrate.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. But that's, yeah. I know when we talked the first time, the privilege to be able to invest the way you're getting to do outside of the four walls of Church on the Drive, which we're so grateful for that church, grateful for the work that God's called you and put in your heart. But you're making a difference over there as Cameron is making a difference, you know, with the program itself and being there at a school. But what were some of the kids' reactions when they're there at Guatemala? They're there inside this beautiful country. You know, you've mentioned a few of them, but what were some of the comments that you heard them make?
Oh, you know, it's funny you say that. I was looking back through some of the videos I had of them. I had some of them help me create a video because we wanted to send it to the people who sponsored and who had taken, you know, I had people walking up to me after church when we were before we went to Guatemala and even after that were just like, hey, I want to sponsor a kid. You know, I mean, one kid with $1,300, you know, to sponsor. And so we wanted to make a video to say, hey, thank you. And here's what they learned.
Kind of give them an idea what happened.
Right. Right. And so I think what stuck with me was, you know, they said, here's what I expected. You know, I expected to come here. And one kid, he said, I just expected to come and learn about Guatemala, and I thought it'd be pretty fun, you know, and be with my friends.
And, you said that well, just right. like a high schooler.
I watched that video a million times. Yeah. And then later on, a different kid said something similar, but I also asked them, hey, what did you get from the trip? What'd you take away from the trip? And one of them, it shocked me. He said, I grew much deeper in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, just like that. Like I had made him rehearse it, you know, like then he was going to stand in front of an audience, but I never said anything like that to him. Mm-hmm. I thought in that moment, I said, thank you, Lord. That wasn't what this whole trip, I never would have expected that, especially from this kid. And he just came out with it. And I said, man, that's yes.
That makes it all worthwhile.
Thank you, Lord.
It?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great because everybody, we know this, everybody's at different phases and in different stages in their walk with the Lord. But man, when you get to that part sometimes, mm-hmm. and you get to experience that and you get to see that growth and you get to see that take place. This same kid, he had just a real honest experience with us one night and in our share time, you know, and he got to admit some things mm-hmm. that were really holding him down, and he got to let go of some things on that trip.
Oh,
and
that's wonderful when deep ministry like that takes place.
Yes.
And again, frees them up for the rest of their life, perhaps.
Right. Right. For me, it's fun because like it's my job, right? It's my job. It's my calling. And I love to do that. I would go to Guatemala, especially with these guys, every week if I could. My wife might not like it too much, but I.
Nor your church.
Yeah. Yeah. They might be upset with me. But I love it, right? So for me, I always tell Cam, like, it's been one of the biggest blessings of my life to be associated with the Edgewater High School and the Edgewater football program.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting to do that. It's also fun to watch, for me, to watch Coach Duke and the other coaches lean into the ministry that God's given them, because they're not just coaching, right? They are teaching and modeling for these guys what it is. In our church lately, we've been doing some stuff with Matthew 28:19-20, right? Jesus says, go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything mm-hmm. that I've commanded. And I watch Coach Duke and the other coaches do exactly that. And so on this trip, it was so cool. On our last night out at the camp, we said, what do we want to do for our share time tonight? And we're all thinking about it, and I'm kind of feeling this pressure to come up with something cool, you know, and Cam comes back later and he says, I think I know what we need to do. How do you feel about foot washing?
Oh, wow.
And it was a really cool moment.
Oh my goodness.
A really cool moment.
Now I guarantee you those guys probably had never seen that before, much less experienced it.
Right. No, they'd never. And the first ones we did, we set up real cool. It was outdoors, and there was like a fire pit that we set up, and that was the only light around. And we got a basin of water, and and it wasn't like the kids just sat there or anything, but like each coach, we took a turn.
Yeah.
And they watched and they
affirmed the player,
spoke life into them.
Mm. Let's hear more about that after a break. We're up against one right now. This is Afternoons with Mike. I'm with Josh Plant from Church on the Drive, also Cameron Duke from Edgewater Football Program. We'll be right back. Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com. to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing. It is truly an honor to be with Josh Plant from Church on the Drive in Orlando and College Park area. Also from that same area, I mean, really, they're kind of like neighbors. Edgewater High School football coach Cameron Duke. And, you know, this kind of experience that we were talking about at the end of segment one, it is, I believe it's just one of the most probably deep events that can happen. And these kids would probably, if they were back here in the States and someone said, yeah, I went to a church and they did a foot washing, they probably would think you're crazy. I don't ever want to go around. I mean, that's so foreign and unusual. But when you're in that kind of a context and the real meaning of the humility involved in washing another's feet and the love that is expressed, and then you add to it again, you're in a foreign country, you're in Guatemala. That really, that presents probably one of the highest moments of memory that they'll have from that entire trip.
Oh, I would think without a doubt. I mean, it's one of the ones that'll always stick with me from that trip. You know, it was incredible, an incredible moment just to be there. I mean, so there, right outside of this little camp that we've got, there is a church that had been built, but crazy wind had come through, a little burst of wind, and had ripped off the roof on this thing. So they were in the process of rebuilding it, but COVID kind of paused that. And so there's these giant steel trusses, and then within that come concrete walls that weren't, and they only went up probably 10 feet or something like that. So you were blocked off from everything, but it was still open air and you could see stuff. So all week they'd been playing soccer in this place. The kids were playing soccer, and it was. And so that night they took some time, and our athletic director, Coach V, was also with us. And he said, what if we built a fire pit? And he's like, I'll get the fire pit done, and I'll make it. So he makes it happen. We get a fire going out there, and it's almost as if we were camping. You know, it was this really cool moment. It was like camping in Guatemala together, and we're sitting around, and we start asking these questions like, what's something you want us to know about you, and what's something you're struggling with right now? Because you got to be vulnerable. If you're ever going to be a leader, you've got to be vulnerable, right? Remember, this is all coming back to, this is leadership, and we're talking about servant leadership. And so when they say these things that they're vulnerable about, they don't know it. But then the very next thing that happens is Coach Duke's getting down on his hands and knees, speaking life into this person and washing his feet, which it takes a lot to wash somebody's feet, but you know, it takes a lot to let your feet be washed too.
Mm-hmm. I really admire this. I really do, guys. I've seen this very same thing happened to a bunch of us on a trip to Cuba on a missions trip one time. And we went there to serve the pastors that were in the churches. And I found in that trip, I found something I wasn't expecting. I was expecting people in Cuba to be kind of down and kind of really deficient of joy. And I get there, and these are some of the most joyful people. And I'm betting that a lot of the folks you served in Guatemala would be the same, because they don't have anything else but the Lord. But they know, in a way that a lot of us in America don't know, that that's the most important thing, because we get ourselves spent wanting other things, the kids with their phones and screen time and all of that. And then you put an event like that where there's no internet, there's no phone, there's no tablet. It's just them and Jesus and somebody like you, Cameron, in their face. I'm sure there were tears, right?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's different times that you could feel, you know, real emotion take over. And a lot of times you did see tears, and the honesty that our players, like Josh said, the vulnerability. But what was awesome, like you said, is our guys got to see these Guatemalans have so much joy with so little compared to what we think of as having a lot as far as materialistic stuff. But they got a chance to see real joy and real love and families that loved one another. And this organization, Clubhouse Guatemala, does such a good job of empowering people down there and demonstrating Jesus' love. And so, yeah, that was powerful for our guys to see that. And then for them to, each night we came together, like Josh said, and we would always reflect on the day and talk about things that we have learned and how God moved and during that day in their own life and different. And it was awesome. And then that last night was when we got a chance to really talk about why did Jesus wash his disciples' feet? Like, why was he doing this? And he was demonstrating what he is asking them to go do once he is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to go and love and serve others. And so they got a chance to really understood what that means. And then to do that, there was a lot of tears and a very powerful moment that I know I'll never forget as long as, and same with our players.
Yeah. A bonding time without a doubt. And I'm thinking of the scripture, the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. And that's really what you guys were able to demonstrate together, is this kind of leadership that is not afraid to be humble, not afraid to be down on your knees in front of them, speaking life, like you said, into them. I wish I could have been there. Wish I would have been there with you. And I would have loved to have seen it. And my goodness, the stories that these guys are going to be telling, not only other players that they play against or go to school with, but as they get older, they'll be telling their children about this. And how cool is that, that this is going to go beyond generation. Now, this generation, it's going to go into their own kids.
Well, you know, and to that point, we got to be with them there. And then a week later, not even a week later, they're at FCA team camp playing football, which is the most hilarious. I love it. It's like the greatest thing ever. You got all these different teams that come,
yeah,
and they come and they play little controlled scrimmage football, and they get a little bit
chippy.
Chippy. That's us. And our guys are known for being the chippy ones. I think we're controlled personally, but you know, they go and they do that, but there's 60 of them there. There's 60 of them there. There weren't 60 in Guatemala.
Right.
And those ones who are in Guatemala come and they lead and they show and they say, look, I just experienced this.
Oh, yeah.
It's a launch pad going into team camp at FCA. I mean, it's brilliant that coach does it this way. And then they come out of FCA team camp where they're going to chapel in the morning and doing service at night and playing football during the day and at night. And they come out of that and then we go right into fall camp.
Yeah.
So the stage is set. The tone is set. That we're going to be a term that lays down our lives for each other, right? Going back to John, right? Greater love has no one than this. He would lay down his life for another, right? And Jesus says, right? I think Andy Stanley calls it the platinum rule, right? Right? A new rule I give to you, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if we could all do that.
I really like what you're saying, though, that those that were there, those that were affected by that, and really this goal, it sounds like you guys hit your goal of teaching and training young men in servant leadership. They're coming back now. It sounds like they're doing that not only with the rest of the team, but this could have an impact on the entire school.
Well, that's the goal, too, is, you know, if I could go in depth with 60 of them, I would. I just can't.
Yeah.
You know, and we look at this, okay, so Jesus said, you know, he took his 12, and then and then those 12 went, you know, 11, got it, and went and changed the world.
Right, right.
You know, and that's what we say, hey, we're going to go in depth with y'all, and then we expect you to go and spread this message through our program, through our team, and ultimately through the school. And what is that message? The message of love and being a servant leader.
Yeah, you put 17 guys like that into a room of 100 guys, and even though they would be in the minority, they're going to be in the majority because the confidence, the work of God, that power that happened, that God put in their hearts when they're there, they're doing these things, they're seeing these things, they're serving together. Oh, my goodness, it's going to have an impact on everyone around them. I love it. And, you know, I think of that scripture that's often talked about or about the disciples, I should say, where they are referred to as the men who turned the world upside down. These kids could turn Edgewater High upside down.
Oh, there's no doubt. And we're watching things happen right now within our program as far as, not football, way bigger than football, watching these young people lead. And I've been really proud of them, and not just from team camp, but now we're started the school year and we're in season, and we've had a couple things to take place that you will with any season, especially still with the COVID issues going on. And I'm watching leadership step up in a mighty way, and it's done from our players, and it's been from this group that has been with us and really understand what it means to be a servant leader.
Mm-hmm. How about yourself, Cameron? Tell us a little bit about how you came to know the Lord in this way.
Well, you know, you mentioned FCA, and when I was in high school, I gave my life to Christ. I got in 10th grade going into my 11th grade year at an FCA football camp.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You were a football player yourself, obviously.
I was. And in fact, I played under a coach who was in high school in Claremont named Bud O'Hara, who was committed in his faith. And now he was someone besides mom and father, probably the most influential man in my life was my high school football coach. Mm. And he took 60 to Black Mountain, North Carolina FCA camp. This was in 2000.
That's a well-known camp.
Yep. In 2002. And I'll never forget, I gave my life to Christ that summer, and I did it with a bunch of other guys that I was teammates with and still am very close with to this day. And it set a, you know, I knew I felt that coaching was going to be a calling in my life, and was able to get involved into coaching at a very early age. I've been coaching a while now. But I've always had great mentors around me. Josh Plant's been one of them since I've been at Edgewater to really understand the platform. And it's so much bigger than just being a football coach, and the chance of influence and what God has called us to do as a program is to love the boys that I've been put in front of us. Mm-hmm. I should say young people, because we actually do have a girl kicker as well in our program.
Do you? That's really cool.
It is cool. And she's really good. But you know, to love the young people that God has put in front of us, and I've had great people along the way, and been at Edgewater now for five. It'll be my fifth fall, which is crazy because it just seems like yesterday I got the job. And watching the good Lord move in our players' lives and our coaches' lives and throughout the school and community has been awesome. And it's really been truly a village of coaches and parents and mentors and administrators and Josh Plan and Church on the Drive and just so many people that have wrapped their arms around our program and our school and really demonstrated God's love. And so it's been fun but back to my story. I gave my life to Christ, just like a lot of these young people have, in our program in high school. And, since then I've been on journey.
Mm, that's a great story. And, you know, I think about this, the whole thing that Josh told us the first time you were here, how it began with really, you had one that you were getting ready to baptize. And I remember you walked down into that baptistry tank and you weren't expecting to see what you saw.
Yeah.
And why don't you share, in case somebody missed that first story, when you were doing work, you were volunteering and you were hoping to make a difference and had gotten accepted. And I guess this was in your tenure as well, that this was going on with Cameron being there, but you reached out and you were working out and kind of getting to see these guys, and then one of them wants to be baptized. So tell that story.
Right. It took some time, right? That this stuff takes time. That when, you know, we go to the Great Commission and we love to quote it, right? Go into all the world, baptizing, you know, we love to do that. We skip over the idea though, in the making disciples, we think that's supposed to be immediate. Mm-hmm. Like that's supposed to happen just because I went out there and I said a prayer and you know, read some Bible verses to you.
Like a microwave discipleship. It should just be a few seconds, right?
Right. Yeah. It's not a microwave. It's a slow cooker.
Yes, that's right.
It's a slow cooker. And I think, you know, you're never going to be able to do that unless you're investing. And we said this, we say this all the time in our church, like you've got to get outside of this fortress of a facility and go to where people are. If you ever want to have the right to say something to them, if you ever want to have the option of making disciples, because otherwise you're just banking that they wander in here for some reason. So my model is go where people are, go where you feel comfortable to go. And even if you don't feel comfortable, go there too, right? Go. Jesus just said, go. He doesn't care if you're uncomfortable, if you're scared, if you have anxiety about it, if you're mad at those people, if you don't like those type of people, he does not care. He just says, go. And so at our church, we just say we're going to go. And so my way of doing that is to go to the local high school and be involved with the football team. That first year was pretty tough. And then the second year got a little bit easier, but I mean, I, I think it really took a good year and a half, 2 years to finally really have some acceptance from the majority of the guys. There was a small crew that was ready for it, but they weren't super trusting. And a lot of the reason they came around was because they saw their coaches, right, also investing in the same things I was investing in, and making it a priority. But by year three, we really started getting some traction. I walked in. I remember walking into our first, we'd started doing some Bible studies during summer workouts and things. And that first fall Bible study in year three, I think it was, we had 55 guys who came in. It's something crazy like that, because I ran out of pizza.
It's amazing how many people have come into the kingdom of God through pizza.
Yeah, I think I might be one of them. Yeah, and so we had that start going on, and our program just kept building from there. And in that time, I think because of pizza Bible study, and then some of these guys started showing up to our youth group, and then very definitely because their coaches have been pouring into their lives and challenging them, right? And modeling for them what it looks like to follow Jesus, we've had other ones come who want to really give their lives to Jesus. And we were so fortunate over this last year to have some who said, "I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized." And I said, "Oh, okay, I'll do that." And so I remember the first one we did was a former player, and he couldn't do it on a Sunday. He had just graduated, and he couldn't do this on a Sunday because his mom worked, and he wanted his mom to be there. This is the era of COVID. So
sure.
So we said, okay, well, we can figure this out then, and we'll just show the video in service, which was a little bit of a departure for our church. Up until the last few years, it's been a very old school, traditional Baptist church, and you don't do that sort of thing. You don't just show a video of it. But it was really important just to get it done. And so I remember I've been involved. This kid has been a part of our church for the last few years. His whole family comes. And so he gets up into the baptistry area with me, and we have we get them all changed up and everything. And we come down into the water, and I look around the corner, and there's Coach Duke and his wife. And there's this coach and there's this coach, and there's all these players, people who don't even play football, but who go to Edgewater High School, who know this kid, showed up to support him.
Wow.
As he made a public profession that he is following Jesus from here on out, no matter what.
I love this story. I see the impact that it is making. And I go back to your story, Josh, how that it was in your heart. God put it in your heart to get involved. And you're right. Discipleship sometimes takes a year or more to even know if you're making any difference at all. But you were, and you did. And now look what God is doing. It's an incredible story. Josh Plant from Church on the Drive, and also Cameron Duke from Edgewater Football Program. And they are here, and we're going to be back with them for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. This is way too much fun. In the studio with me today, a couple of guys. We are socially distanced, trying to be very careful with all that's going on. And I'd love to hear your guys' take on how this COVID 2.0 is going to be affecting the school year. But I've got Josh Plant, senior pastor at Church on the Drive in College Park. And right down the road from that church is Edgewater High School football coach Cameron Duke is here. And just hearing these stories, thinking about the theme of discipleship, thinking about what it's like. And Cameron, I'm going to turn for a moment to you. The reality that a football coach, a lot of us, we read, those of us that are sports fans, we're all excited because football season's almost here and all of the stuff that's going on. You have so much press out there about football players and programs and getting themselves into trouble and getting themselves into trouble with the law and much less the school. But then you have young men who are doing what Josh just told us a story about, who are getting baptized, who are going on missions trips. And I think there's a lot of people that would say, Cameron, Coach Duke, how is this happening? So I'd like to throw that question to you. How is this happening?
You know, I really think it's been so many people within the Edgewater school community and the College Park community that have rallied around our program and the school and have helped our young people out in so many different ways. And at the end of the day, we as a staff know it's so much bigger than football. It's a calling on our lives to help influence the young people that are in front of us and help them to be the men or women that God has called them to be. And, you know, that's something that is number one priority in our program, with our coaches, with our team chaplain, with parents that are involved, with so many people. Our administration understands what it's all about. It's not just winning games. Yes, we're going to be judged by that, by the world. But at the end of the day, we know we are called to answer to our Heavenly Father and what he's given us the opportunity to do. Mm-hmm. And we get a chance to use the platform of football to help develop and to grow our young people into exactly who God's called them to be. And we're going to do everything we can to do that. And that's a calling on our life, and it's a calling on the people that are supportive of our program. And we've seen so many great stories, and there's so many different stories out there about young people that have changed their lives.
What kind of feedback do you get from parents who, let's say their kid is just coming into Edgewater for the first time and they didn't know all of this was going on? They wouldn't have had a clue, and they've heard all of the stories about negative peer pressure and all of that. And then they start hearing about what God's doing and they hear about you. What are the comments they make?
Well, they get excited usually when they know we're partnering with them. You know, their parents are letting us have the opportunity to coach them. And we tell parents all the time, we want to partner with you to help raise your young person into who they're called to be. And, you know, the parents have my cell number, which sometimes not always the best thing. But, you know, we're in constant communication with them. We're very open and adamant about what our goals are as a program. And, you know, of course, we want to be competitive on the field, but it's so much more than that. How are they being impacted in a positive way as a student? How are they being impacted in a positive way as a young person as far as how to treat others and how to care for others and love people well? We think all that will end up helping them become also a better football player, but way more than that, they're going to be a better person.
A better person.
And, you know, the parents get excited when they get a chance to see the growth from their ninth grade year, hopefully by the time they graduate. And really, we always talk about it. We're not going to know if we're having a successful season until 20 years down the road when they're, you know, 35, 45 years old. And hopefully the lessons that they've learned while they've been with us have now made them a better person. They now know that they know who they're loved by God. They know that they are going to be somebody, hopefully, that is a good member of society, a good husband or a good father. You know, somebody that lessons that they learned at such a critical age through our program that have now made them a better person.
We had a chance to go up, as you know, recently to Gainesville's big kickoff classic event from FCA up there. And I had a chance to talk to several coaches. And this similar, I guess you could say, hope, desire, longing to see their kids grow, not just as a football player, and to have the fun that all players really aim to have. I mean, it's got to be fun, but more importantly, to see them become leaders. That is something that seems to be growing among football coaches, not youth pastors, although thank God it's growing in them too, or pastors of churches. But when you have a whole group of people that are leaders called coaches, because Frank Reynoso, who you know, he would say that one of the most important persons besides the parent would be the coach in a lot of these young people's lives. So you have an opportunity to do and to have an influence that a lot of people wouldn't have.
Yeah, and we take that very seriously. We know that it's a calling on our lives, a calling on my life. And, you know, speaking of that, you know, we just lost a coach, and Coach Bobby Bowden, who at Florida State, who was, when I watched his entire funeral this past Saturday, and every story that got up and was shared by his former player or coach had nothing to do with anything about the game of football. It was about life lessons that they have learned from this man, this godly man who was very adamant about his love for Jesus and his love for the players that he coached. And these coaches and players, the stories that they told about how Coach Bowden had helped them in their faith journey and their life in general was powerful. And it's great to see other coaches doing that. And we knew, we do as a staff, we know it's a calling on our life that as coaches, we are, it's not just about that odd shaped football. Mm-hmm. It's so much more. And we take it very seriously. But what's been so special is having Church on the Drive and Pastor Josh and other members of the College Park community and our administration at our school and our athletic director and just so many people that have rallied around understanding that this is a calling and our job is to influence these young people in a mighty way. And it's been really special to see, and we're continuing and praying that this will be on journey still.
What I remember too is that not only were these kids really coming to know the Lord, but the football team is doing better as a football team in the win column as well, correct?
Yeah, we've been fortunate in playing back-to-back state title games.
That's just amazing. And so how cool is that? I mean, that to a lot of people who are not believers, who are a lot of people who are hearing the stories about what's going on, and then they hear the changed lives and the testimonies of kids, because these kids are going to be sharing their testimonies. It's going to get out. And then you add to that a winning program. To some people, that's the big win. That's the big W. But what I love about you two guys, you've got your priorities right. You know that the biggest W is going to be the fact that they've got a different mark in their life, and that is that they're believers.
Yeah, one of the things that I think that, or I hope that comes out very clearly, one of the founding things in our program is that following Jesus is the best way to live. Right? Like, I say that to some of the guys sometimes, and because I know some of them don't believe. And I'd say, look, man, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But can I just tell you this? If you'll do it Jesus' way, whether you believe or not, if you'll do it Jesus' way, you'll ultimately be better.
Mm-hmm.
You will ultimately be better in every facet of your life. Like, sometimes that's the starting place, right? And so when you do it Jesus' way, when you put others first, like, good things happen.
Yeah.
Good things happen, you know, and it's a great place to start. I love, you know, in this era of Twitter and Instagram and kids making, you know, top fives for where they're going to go to school if they're a good football player. And sometimes if they're not, they make these ridiculous top five posts, like, I'm going to go to this school maybe. And it's this look at me, mm-hmm. and football becomes, quote unquote, their way out, right? Whereas Cameron is saying, no, get your academics right. Like, that's the first step. And I remember walking in, I think it was Cam's second season at Edgewater. I walked in and real big, he had scrawled on his whiteboard, football can't be their God. Right. And for the next 2 years, I remember, and still, like, just hearing that, football can't be your God, guys. It can't be your God. It's never going to do what you want. There's so much more to life.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more. It'll end for you one day. And if you let it be your God, it'll break your heart. Yeah. And just driving home that point, that message over and over and over again, that it's much more than football. It's life. And guess who is the author and the sustainer of life?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's
the only definition for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so if we can say, look, life is more important than football, and we happen to know the author and the sustainer of life, let me introduce you to him.
Mm. Yeah.
Man, that's good stuff.
You know, the beautiful thing about discipleship, the beautiful thing about what we've been talking about, this group that went to Guatemala, is that it is like in construction, when you start building something, that thing is going up. That thing is whatever it is. If it's a building, it starts with a foundation, and then the walls go up, just kind of like what you were talking about, that place where they played soccer in Guatemala. They have the framework for the roof is up there, not yet covered because it was blown away. But what you guys are doing, you're building something in a spiritual way that is going to be strong and is going to be effective, perhaps even in ways that you can't even comprehend. And I pray that this story about what God is doing, the unique arm in arm between this church and the pastor of this church and the football program and the coach who's leading this football program, I'm just praying the doors open up for you guys in both arenas, at the school, at the church.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
I believe that can happen. Now, you know, how do you guys look right now at COVID and this resurgence of this nasty thing? What's the talk on the campus?
Well, we actually took a little bit. We had to take a little bit of a break. I mean, it's public knowledge that we had a couple cases show up, so we took a few days off. We start back up Monday. We were able to get through 9 practices in the fall. Then we had a couple cases spike, and so we took a break and shut it down for 10 days, which was a smart move to do. And we pick back up Monday, and then we'll get back going, and we play a game next Friday against Bishop Moore, which is a rival game. We're excited.
Yeah, that'd be a big one. That's also in the College Park area.
That's right, and it's at our place next Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday, and at 7 o'clock. So we're excited, but you know, this is one of those. We're in that time where we're not in control, and we can't control it, and we understand that, and we're just going to continue to abide by the laws of our land and listen to the medical experts and try to keep our kids as safe as possible and do the best we can with the hand that we're dealt. But you know, we are fortunate that we're able to get back together as a team on Monday and get back going and practicing and get up for a game in the season. But you know, it is uncertain times, and we're just fortunate to be able to get back together and try to grow one day at a time.
Mm, that's beautiful. Give us your web address at Church on the Drive, if you will.
Yeah, it's just churchonthedrive.org. You can also find us on Facebook and facebook.com/churchonthedrive. And then on Instagram, it's at Church on the Dr, like Church on the DR.
On the DR.
Yeah, I couldn't fit all the letters in there. They wouldn't let us do it.
You run out of characters.
Yeah.
But you guys, there's no shortage of character in the two of you. Let me just say it that way, because you guys are doing it. I admire what you're doing. I'm thrilled what you're doing. The game that's coming up, is it a home game at Bishop Moore?
Yeah, it'll be. We play Bishop Moore at Edgewater.
At Edgewater. Okay. Game. So there's nothing as fun as going to a prep football game and getting to see it and being there in the Friday night lights or whatever that it is. It's just going to be a great year. And we're praying for safety from the standpoint of this pandemic for all your players. We also continue to pray for the wonderful work that you're doing, Josh, at Church on the Drive. And you've just become around here. You're just so respected. I want you to know that. We're thrilled to see what God is doing. And any way that we can get the word out, we want to be able to do that for you. And we're just grateful. So thank you for coming in today again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. Can I just take a point of privilege? I would just encourage everyone. You know, you may not feel like you have what it takes to make disciples, but you do. You do. Just get out there and go. Just get out and go. Do whatever you can. Find the place where God's leading you and just sink your teeth into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been blessed to do in our community, with our football team. It's been a blessing to my life in more ways than I can count.
I love it. I love it. Josh Plant from the Church on the Drive, and also Cameron Duke. Thank you, Cameron. And say hello to your dad for me, if you will.
I will. You know, he helps us coach, too, which is awesome. So thank you for having me. It's been a privilege.
It's been a blast. And friends, thank you for joining us here on The Shepherd. We'll catch you next time on Afternoons with Mike.